Run the track.
Run the track. Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh no.
All right, welcome to Foster the Podcast, the official show of comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie. I'm your host, Justin Foster. Hi, my co-host, beautiful Christy Marie. How you doing?
Hi.
And the Sultan of Sound, Ivan Ishkov.
Hello.
We've got a wonderful, wonderful guest today. Jose Barrientos is our guest today.
Hey, how you doing?
Dude, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We've been trying to set this up for like 6 months now.
Yeah, that's true. Finally made it happen, so
thank you. Good. You said your work thinks you're at the dentist right now?
Yeah, I was. So I'll come back and be like, hey, guys.
Yes.
So much better.
How was it? Very painful. Very painful. Still have cavities, but yeah. Jesus. I actually wish I was at the dentist today. Where do you work? What's your day job?
So I am.
Let me first off say, privyet.
Duh.
All right.
No, I'm a software developer for a moving broker. So I write all the automation tools, auto SMS emails, auto dialers.
Okay.
Basically the best way to annoy a customer.
Okay.
I engineer all that. So.
Awesome. Great. Also a very great stand-up comedian.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very good friend too. I was saying off air that you're one of two comedians I've ever seen that I've tried to get on the show, but I've watched your set and I've just like taken notes really fast. Like, oh, we got to talk about this and we got to talk about this. Because your whole story is so fascinating.
Thank you.
Right. So a little backstory. What was your role? You had like a government job, right? Mm-hmm. What was your position there? Because everyone just refers to you as a super badass.
Oh, I don't know.
Everyone said, you know, Jose, he's kind of a badass. You don't want to fuck with him?
Shocking. But no, yeah. Never to my face.
That's what people are saying behind your back, Jose. You should be careful.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it wasn't so much a government job. I used to be in the military, and I was a mechanic, so I used to work on tanks. But then I got drafted to work in headquarters. And from there, I have a knack with computers, so I started doing the intel section of our troop. So just a lot of signal intelligence and a lot of pattern recognition. Basically, spying on the Iraqis to see who the terrorists were.
That's the definition of badass. Yes, it's exactly what that means.
Because it sounds like you were a military spy man.
Oh.
And that's what I've made up in my head.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with that.
I mean, I'm not gonna dissuade you from that just because I need the ego boost. But it's
military spy man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Liam Neeson from Taken's too far. But right. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. not even close. Not even close. Yeah, very, very little action on my part.
But that's crazy, though, huh? Yeah. What a gig!
It was really interesting. And what was more interesting, I don't even know if I should say this, but
we can edit everything out.
Oh, good. Yeah, in case you get a knock at your door. So I wasn't born in the United States of America. I was born in Mexico.
Okay, all right. Let's end it now.
Oh, we're making America great again. Yeah, yeah. Got
we
it.
Just lost all of our audience.
But they, so when I started doing the intel stuff, I was a resident, so I did not have a secret clearance and it fell in through the cracks. So I remember I was sitting at a table with a bunch of high brass and they were talking about this super secret plan and they're like, everybody has their secret clearance, right? And I was like, oh, I'm not even a citizen of the country.
Oh, no.
And they were like, what? Like, who brought him here? So they took me outside and they threatened me. They were like, if this plan leaks, like we know who to go to. And I was like, no alliance to any, you know.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I'm Team America, so.
Right, exactly. You actually have more of a stake on, you don't want it to leak. You're like, I don't want to leave.
No, exactly. Right. Yeah, absolutely. So that was in Iraq, of all places. And I thought that was really funny. And so, all of my work in the intel world, I never, ever had a clearance. So I was working on some really high-tech programs and projects that I had no business seeing in. And then you have Hillary's DNC leagues that everyone loses their mind. So it's like, you know, kind of silly how that works out.
Yeah.
But so I learned a lot from there. And so sort of to bring it full circle. So now I work as a software developer by day and I do freelance digital reconnaissance. So what that means is if you like lose your password, you call me or you want to know if your spouse is cheating on you, I find out.
Really?
So, yeah. And because the private eye game used to be you'd drive around in a van and you'd, you know, stake it out and follow people.
Sure.
But cheating doesn't work that way anymore. Now it's all on the phone or your computer with emails.
Uh-huh.
And private eyes are good at following people, but they're not necessarily hackers.
Right.
So they outsource that kind of work to people like me.
Nice.
So the days of like sitting in a white van with a trench coat on, taking pictures, you just like hop online and just read their text really fast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I found out he was cheating in 7 minutes. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, honestly, he most always is. So
yes.
I gotta be honest
with you. If you have to hire, go ahead, Krista.
100%. If you have to hire someone to find out if that person's cheating, they're cheating or they might as well be. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they're either a dick or they're cheating. Yes. So just go.
So now how do you deliver the news?
I don't, because I don't meet the clients, but there's an NDA that's done. So like one of the companies is I'd rather know, right? Okay. And so
I'd rather know.
I know, right? Isn't that so heartbreaking? They tug at your heartstrings. But what they do is they sign a...
it's better than this motherfucker.
I work for cheaters. So, No. No, but basically they give us consent to spy on their network. And so we do, and then anything I grab up, I just turn over and then they tell them. Yeah.
So it's like an X-ray tech. Like you don't have to deliver the bad news.
Nope.
You just get it, look at it. Mm-hmm. Here's what I, okay.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. And then another, I've been working with the Freem organization, which is a nonprofit that's about here in America, which blew my mind. I actually met this guy at a kid's birthday party, but he runs this organization that rescues women who are trapped in sex slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. And he's got like teams of like ex-Marine recon guys or special forces guys that do the physical extract. But what he was telling me was that he has trouble getting information or intel on the pimps, like, you know, what's going on inside the building. And I was like, well, I just happen to have that particular set of skills.
Very
so we're teaming up. Yeah. So I go and I spy on pimps now.
Really?
Then, nice. Yeah. We're working on some, I don't know how in depth I should get it, because that one's a little moral gray.
Right.
Yeah.
And legal, it's pretty much legal. So, I mean, I doubt some pimp's going to be like, oh, I was hacked. How dare you?
See you in court.
Yeah, exactly. So
I feel like this whole podcast should be like your face should be blurred and your voice changed, right. Even though it's audio.
So there I was with my drone watching this pimp. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. What pimp is going to report is his hat. Yeah. You know,
right. Yeah. And I don't even see them. I'm not worried about like retribution. So,
right.
But,
wow. Yeah. So that's what what I do with my,
nice.
That's my awesome. Stuff.
Wow.
So,
well, do you ever, do you ever use that? Do you ever use your skills on anyone else, like in day-to-day life?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Are you kidding?
How could you not? Right.
I mean, I try not to, invade people's privacy, but that backfires. Like I prank my coworkers a lot.
Oh,
so,
do you?
Mm-hmm. Like when the CEO is pacing the floor, I'll hack into someone's computer and I'll make it go to like, you know, a porn site. And so the CEO's like, what are you doing? And he knows me. So he knows it's me, but we like to watch, cause you know, I work with a bunch of computer nerds and they're squirmy, but everyone brings in their own laptop. That's what they work out of, right? Mm-hmm. None of the techs work out of computer laptops. And so I had that backfire because I spawned an instance of a furry website. And as I was watching it, I saw that at the top right, it said log out. And I realized he has an account at this website. And I so I quickly closed it. But now when I see him, I just picture the furries.
Oh, my goodness.
So I can't say anything. And so every once in a while, I see things.
Welcome back, Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Shut it down.
Yeah, it was bad.
Control-Alt-Delete.
So. Yeah. He's a dirty old man. And,
Yep.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
What about your neighbors? You were talking about a story about your neighbors.
Oh, yeah. So,
which is my favorite story of all time, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, that was years ago. I should probably come up with something new, right? Or do something new. But I've just been telling the story forever. But basically, it was back when I lived in Koreatown. And I had these neighbors that were like super gangsta. And they were like always blaring rap music. And I'd tell them like, hey, turn it down. But I'm kind of a bitch, you know, so yeah. I can't do that. So given the background that I have, what I started doing is every time they would blare their music, I would hack into their Wi-Fi and I would make their printers print penises. Because I'm an adult. This is the tag. And so I... Like,
could you imagine you just turn on hip hop really loud and then your dick start every time?
Yeah. Well, I imagine it's Pavlovian, right? Like, you can't listen to rap now without picturing a dick. You know? That was the goal there. But they were really loud, right?
Amazing.
So the first time I did it, I could like hear them talking about it. So I guess one of the guys walked in and he like saw the dicks, and so he started yelling to his roommate. He's like, "Hey, Steve, I think our printer's gay, yo." What? Yeah. So I did that to them a lot, and they, in fact, we did it so many times that they ran out of toner. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and sometimes like I would take like one dick pic and I would print it like across 50 pages. So they would have to assemble it, and they'd be like, "Ah, it's a dick." Not like, you know. But yeah, so they. Yeah, that was.
Again. Who are these gangsters that are like printing shit all the time?
Yeah,
why is your printer
just
on?
Hardcore gangsters with an HP.
they were sophisticated. No, I'm kidding. Well, actually, they were meth cooks.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah, so the part of the story that gets dicey is because I used to wonder, like, what are they doing with all these dick pics, right? Because the culmination of the thing, and I had to stop because I realized they were being surveilled by government.
Oh shit! But
it was like a whole big investigation. They ordered ink cartridges because I had I'd run down their ink, and so I canceled their ink orders and I ordered them two dildos instead, like black and magenta, same color.
So you could see what they were ordering.
Oh, I was closer to them than their shadows. I fucked with these guys so much. Like I would insert songs into their playlist when I knew they had girls over. Like, you know, they'd be in the middle of, like some good, like smooth music. Sure. And I'd switch it up to like, "Oh, Ricky, you're so fun." But, oh, man, I don't listen to this. I don't know what this is about.
Yo, they my Spotify gay. Yo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Give them some tintings. Yeah. I'm sure they, on some level, I thought maybe they, well, because like if you're high on meth and your printer's like printing dicks,
right,
signing you up for Prime, I think on some level you're right. Like, something else is happening here. But they got raided. Like, you look it up. DEA came over, took all their shit, and it turns out they were shredding the dick pics. So that's amazing to me because I know it's someone's job down at the station to reassemble, like, shredded documents. Yeah. So
some young junior agent.
He's like, "It's another dick, chief. It's another dick." So, yeah.
I think there's a courtroom somewhere where they're holding up taped together dicks.
Yeah, what did they bring in an expert, I wonder? Like, is this a code? What does this mean?
Whose dick is this?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
oh good my times. Gosh. Is it hard not to fuck with people, though? Like, if you have this, you have this gift.
I mean, well, things are different now because there's a lot of people invested in keeping your shit secure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would have to go out of my way nowadays to like do those kinds of things to a specific person. Mm-hmm. So like most hackers in China, they cast a wide net, right? They just ping the internet and then they find susceptible, networks that don't have any security. By and large, the best way to trick somebody is to get them to open a file or click a link or something. You have to actually interact with them.
Okay.
Is that tempting? Yeah, all the time. Like when a company fucks me over with a package, mm-hmm. I feel like going in there and wreaking havoc. But I mean, you know, there's always that chance that
some guy at Amazon just more dicks again.
Yeah, like I had a friend who was really into like the goth scene, so I got her a little doll, like a porcelain doll that looks creepy, right? And so we ordered it and it came, but it was like all busted up and not at all what I thought it was. So I was like, "Hey, I'm not pleased with this product. I'd like to return it." And they're like, "No, you already opened it, so we don't do that." And I was like, "We just put it back in the box. What are you talking about?"
Right.
They're like, "No." So I made a sub account and I wrote them and I was like, how do I turn the speaker inside the doll off?" And they're like, "What speaker?" And I was like, "Yeah, like I come home and it's sitting on the couch and it's like making noise." And they're like, "There's no speaker in the doll." And I was like, "That's so weird." so we put in our own little speaker thing in there. And so first I sent them back the box and I was like, I've sent it back. And they're like, "The box is empty." And I was like, "I came home and the doll was on my couch again." And they're like, "Yeah, we don't want this doll back. You don't have to get it." And I was like, "No, you're getting this doll." So I finally set it back with the speaker. And, I mean, that's not really hacking so much as messing with people, which I can't help myself.
That's
sometimes.
Not hacking. That's just hilarious. Brilliant.
Yeah. Just me being a dick. So.
That's funny.
There's some junior agent at that company.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. So when did you get into stand-up? How did you make that transition from spying on terrorists to be like, "Yeah, I'm going to tell jokes"?
It's you know, the difference between comedians and hackers is just social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's it. The part of the brain that writes jokes is the same creative mind that finds holes in security.
Uh-huh.
It's like messing with the expectation. It should go this way, but what if it goes this way? Mm-hmm. You know? So, but what happened for me is, I was in Iraq and, a group of guys that I served with got attacked mm-hmm. and nobody was hurt, but they were really shook up. And so I just kind of want to like cheer them up. Mm-hmm. So I just started talking to them because they were all sitting down in the office waiting to be debriefed. And I was like, "Guys, do you think, because what happened is they were in a convoy. A rocket got fired at them, went between two vehicles. could have hit one of the vehicles, people would have been dead. And so I said, do you think that terrorists get paid when they miss? Like, do you think that, like, they go back and they're like, well, technically they were scared, which is technically terrorism, so mission accomplished.
Half pay.
Yeah. And I was like, what do you think he told them? Like, yeah, I was doing it, I was there, and then I sneezed, okay? I admit it. And so they started laughing, and I fell in love with it. I was like, this is my calling. I felt better about that than anything else.
Sure.
So, I came back, started doing open mics, and
wow.
So yeah,
I just had the idea of you like deciding that you want to do stand up, so you just hack it, like you just put your you're headlining all the improvs across the country. Like, well, he's on the computer, I guess.
I know, right? You don't know who I am.
I guess we booked him.
Yeah, well, maybe at Flappers because they're EMS. Well, actually, one of the ways that I met Barbara and became friends with her is
by the way, is the proprietor of Flappers.
Oh yeah,
here in Burbank.
Yeah. She's amazing. Yep. She's super sweet lady, very smart, also very tech savvy. But I would just do computer work for the club at first, and that's kind of how I got in.
So, okay.
Same thing.
And you do a lot of colleges for her, right?
Yeah.
What is that experience like for you doing colleges?
Oh, I love it. It's the best. I think it's very antithetical to doing comedy at a comedy club, right? Because the comedy club is, at least for someone at my level, it's not a lot of money, mm-hmm. but the shows are amazing. And mm-hmm. the colleges, it's kind of the opposite because the money is great, but the shows are not run by people, I think, who know how to run a show.
Sure. Right.
So like I did a show in Ohio and I got there and the stage revolved and they wouldn't turn it off for me.
Oh no.
At 10 a.m. I don't want to hear me at 10 a.m.
Much less spinning.
Yeah. So I had to walk to face my audience. Like I got winded, like I'm telling jokes. Do you know what I mean?
And
I told, I was like, you guys should have like a tray with water that I could just pound it as I'm walking by. It was really bad.
The fucking comedy in the round.
What like, was yeah. the reasoning for not turning it off?
So, well, you two was there the next day.
They warm it up. Yeah. No, I told them, because it was a 10 a.m. thing. So it was a band. They should have revolved. It was great. And then me. And then another band. And so I was like, can you guys turn it off? And they're like, we don't know how. And I was like, I propose to you, there's a cable you can pull.
Right, right. Yeah.
And this will stop. They're like, we don't know.
I can actually hack into your system and turn it off for you if you want.
I'll do it.
Exactly.
All I need is a laptop.
I got this. Yeah, no, I just, so I didn't, I just for an hour walked and it was dross.
Yes.
That was on me. Yeah. I wasn't at the level where a spinning stage didn't fuck with my comedy. So
I don't know. I've been doing it a long time. I don't know if I could, that would still fuck with my comedy. Yep. Like you try to time it to where the punchline comes as you come back. So the setup is at 80 and the payoff is at 360.
Yeah, it was bad. You're doing geometry up there while you're trying to tell some jokes. Yeah.
Is that the worst show you've ever done?
Is that the worst show I've ever done? Like college show or just show
in general?
Yeah, I guess. Only because like I couldn't connect because I was in constant motion.
Because
I was drifting away or drifting towards. Yes. My orbit was off. No, I think there was one worst show I did in Texas for...
Yes, say no more.
Yeah. No, this lady booked me and she's a sweet lady. And, you know, she asked me how much time I could do. And I said, well, how much time will you give me? And I'd only been doing stand-up a month.
Oh God!
And she's like, "We'll just do 45," and I was like, "Done." And I was in the center of a club called Starlight on the dance floor, so I couldn't see my audience at all.
Sure.
And I only had like maybe 3 minutes of comedy.
Yeah.
And I stretched that to 45. I'd say that's the worst show I've ever done. In my life.
That wasn't the situation. That was just because you overextended your reach too early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Dude, the first month of comedy, if you would have asked me to do 45 minutes, I would have been like, hell yeah. And then, oh God.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember the first time doing 15 minutes. I was like 2 months in, and that was eternity. Mm-hmm. I mean, eternity. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine doing 45.
Way.
Yeah, it was bad.
Ugh. Yeah. The last like 30 minutes is you just fixing people's computers.
And I was threatening them.
Yeah.
It's like,
want to know if your wife's cheating on you? Yeah. Let's find out real fast.
She is.
She is.
I don't have to check.
I guarantee you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I really want to know. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, man. Mm-hmm. So you were telling, I wanted to bring this up. You were talking about when you were in community college, mm-hmm. you took a speech class.
Yeah. So I mean, I obviously take life very seriously, if you can't tell.
I can tell. You're all over the
the place.
Yeah. So I took a speech class, and I was talking to a buddy, and I thought it would be really funny to show up to this class and be like, yeah, my name is Jose Barrientos, and just see if anybody would be like, why are you talking that way?
Right.
Or, you know, because they're college students, they'd be like, acceptance. We yes. don't assume.
Right.
We don't assume his race or ethnicity or his
right.
gender.
Right.
So you went in looking Hispanic, but talk like,
right,
like
yeah.
you were your neighbors right, right. in Koreatown?
Yeah, just to see it. Yeah. My printer's gay. That's all I have to say. no, but I figured that's just not going to work. So I thought it'd be funny if maybe on the first day, and just the first day, I could show up with like a piñata, because you're supposed to bring an object that describes you.
Oh.
So, yeah. And so I was like holding my piñata, and I was like, hello, I am Jose. I come from a long line of piñata makers. And you guys are laughing, but they like were like, what? They're like blown amazing. Away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I just kept milking it, right? Because I was supposed to say, just kidding, I'm Jose.
Right.
Don't assume things about people. But
right.
I kept...
you never got to that
No, no, because right before I could say, like, I'm just kidding, I was born in Mexico, but I grew up in America,
sure.
and I was in the Army. Before I could say any of that, this guy from the back's like, hey, man, I want you to know, I feel the struggle. I feel we have a little piñata inside of us. Man, welcome to America.
Oh, oh yeah. man.
It just starts clapping. And one by one, students give me a standing ovation.
No.
Yeah. So now I can't be like, just... Just kidding.
yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
It's the biggest asshole ever. So I owned it. I started showing up with skinny jeans, like snake boots, like the belt buckle, sombrero flannel.
Full character.
Yeah, yeah. I commit. And my
Through
friends
the
were
whole
like,
class?
Yeah, right. No, the whole. If, I never broke character.
Wonderful.
It's like when you tell a lie, like a little small one, and just snowball. You can't get out of it.
Oh, I felt it was really difficult. To keep up because like I'd go to lunch with these people.
Sure.
yeah, they'd be like, Jose, like, are you on Facebook? And I can't give them my Facebook, right? So
right.
I'd be like, no, why do you use Facebook? yeah, they would, you know, be like, oh, simple Mexican.
What is?
yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, no, I am a Christian. I don't do these, you know, just that kind of excuses. But so none of my friends believed me, right? They're like, yeah, right. And I was like, no, I'm serious. So they're like, all right, pictures or it didn't happen. So I started putting hidden cameras in my piñatas and my sombreros and stuff. And
you would bring your piñata every week?
Well, it was a new piñata every... Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
and fresh piñata.
No, I had to, yeah. And I was like, gifts, you know? Like,
right, okay.
You know, for... yeah, it was...
You put a camera much. In a hat?
I did, yeah, in my sombrero, yeah.
Was that an episode of The Simpsons when he has the...
yeah, just like that. And he's like, I do not mean to tell you... Oh. There we go. Oh, I do not mean to concern you. You've got a hole, and he thinks it's a beehive.
He thinks
so he stomps it out. Yeah, 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 yeah. Exactly. So anyway, yeah. I started filming it, and only for my friends.
Sure.
There, right. I think I had like 4 subscribers on YouTube, but by the end of the weekend, the video had 2.7 million views.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know how that happened. I have no idea. So the school found out because it was like on the cover of Yahoo and MSNBC and all these
oh
things.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like walking through campus and the principal, you know, like stops me and goes, Jose Barrientos. And I was like, yeah, what's going on? You're still trying to. and she's like, we know your accent's fake. And I was like, no, what are you talking about? And so
right.
they call me in the office and they show my video.
Right.
And I was like, okay, the cat's out of the bag.
Right.
and security was there trying to like be all huffy. And he was like telling me, he was like, we still don't know how he got the camera in, but the piñata we have assumed is a Trojan horse. I was like, what? That's not even how that story
That's
goes.
So dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were. So they expelled me.
Oh, yeah. So they kicked you out.
Oh, yeah.
You say
oh, yeah.
It's just like a social experiment. Like,
well,
it's art.
So that's what happened. That was the way back in. But they escorted me off campus in handcuffs. Like
in handcuffs.
Yeah, the joke was that it's like in Texas, like, oh, you thought I brought a cock to school, you know? It was like,
right.
yeah. It was like that. And I know I look ridiculous because, imagine, like with what I was dressed as, I'm sure I looked like I was getting deported.
Right.
You know, like being kicked on this campus.
Your bolo is blowing in the wind.
Yeah. And there's like a guard behind me with the piñata. So
the Trojan horse.
Yeah,
it is beeping.
The whole campus in the center quad is watching me. And so I just started yelling. I was like, I just want to learn. So all these students are coming to my aid. They're like, he's just trying to learn, man. Leave him alone, you know. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So that was my you know. And
but it turns out just an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Oh, man. No, I lost so many friends.
Yeah.
They found out.
But gained so many subscribers.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
What's really more important?
Oh, well, by far that.
Subscribers.
Yeah, that class go fuck itself. No, I'm just kidding. No. They were so sweet, especially like their professor, I think, is who I screwed the most because like he offered, you know, he's being the nice guy. He's like, if you'd like to, I can tutor you in diction and pronunciation,
right,
and enunciation. And I was like, I will really appreciate that. So for like an hour every day after class, this guy, I swear, I know, but I had to commit.
You
I couldn't
commit it hard.
Why else would I be like, no, I don't need your help. Get away from me. So, you know, afterwards, I was told by one of the department chairs that when they were showing him the video, and it's like me talking normally and doing the voice and stuff, he was like, I helped that guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
With his accent.
Oh, he's still taking credit for it?
You know, he's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I felt bad for him, I feel like. I'm sure he, and I hope, you know, I didn't talk to him afterwards because there was my expulsion pending, but I hope that he understands that it wasn't against him. I was it got out of my hands. And
sometimes shit gets carried away.
Yeah. And I'm not a prudent man. I wasn't going to just stop, you know? So, but yeah, then ABC's 2020 called and they're like, hey, you want to be on TV, talk about your prank? And I was like, duh. So I called the school and I was like, I'm about to be on national television. Should I tell them you expelled me for being Mexican? And they're like, no, senor, you know,
welcome back.
Yeah, they brought me back and they reinstated me. I got an award for services to the school and then A in the class. So.
Did you do the interview?
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
Uh-huh, yeah. They flew me out to New York, talked to Sharon Alfonsi. And
awesome.
She came out guns a-blazing, though. I think because the first question she asked me, no prep, no pre-interview. She just goes, what's the difference between doing a prank like this and just lying to people?
Oof.
And I was like, there isn't one. So I told her, I was like, I was conducting a social experiment on how people sort of accept preconceived notions of foreign culture. And I was also hoping that by being deceived by me and then realizing that it wasn't real, they would later learn to question these preconceived notions of foreign culture. And she was like, so what do you do for fun? Right. She was like, okay, well, we're not getting a spicy one out of this guy.
Yeah. Nope.
So
about you sit down, bitch.
Yeah, no. She, but she came out guns a-blazing. That was intimidating as fuck. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever told like a little small lie that's gotten out of hand?
Sure, I have.
I did that for a weekend in Florida. So mm-hmm. I'm Russian. And it was a Russian wedding. And my job that weekend was to drive to the airport and pick up all the the wedding party.
Sure.
And it's like an hour away to the airport. So I'd pick people up and it's the best man, like all the family. And everyone I picked up, I pretended like I couldn't speak English. And I just got here. So, and then the whole weekend I had to keep it up.
Right.
And then at the wedding, her mom asked, she's like, well, I don't want to talk to everyone in broken English. I'm just going to have my nephew translate for me. So I had to get up on stage. And I get on stage and I'm like in perfect English, translate for her. And I'm looking at the party and they're all looking at me. They're just like, what
the fuck? Wow. Говоришь по-русски?
Да,
я говорю по-русски. О, молодец, да, конечно.
Откуда ты узнал русский?
Well, let's not alienate everybody.
I actually knew exactly everything you guys just said. I'm very proud about that.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Здравствуйте.
Здравствуйте. Да. О, молодец тоже.
I was trying to think, when you said that, I was thinking, this is nowhere near that, but I took a science class, mm-hmm. and I won first place, and I won all these awards because I had made a lemon turn a light bulb on. You guys have all seen the thing where you take a lemon, and you take the little cables to it, and it makes a light bulb light up, right? Mm-hmm. And I got first place, I got the blue ribbon, but I had this guilt, like this that just weighed inside of me, because what I had done, I couldn't get it to work. I could not get it to work. So what I had done the night before is I had hollowed out the lemon and put a battery inside of it.
That's amazing.
And super glued the top back on, so every time it got a charge, of course it turned the light bulb on.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And so everyone who had been, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks working on their project, and I'm literally the night before, I'm like, all right, how can I con this teacher?
Oh man.
Just for that?
And that's kind of what happened. I went back and I said, I feel really guilty. And she said, well, the fact that you executed this so perfectly, you can get a B. So, but we're going to.
You fessed up?
Yeah, I did. I had this guilt and I had to give the ribbon back.
I never graduated high school. right? And they think I did, but I didn't actually. So when I was, I think I was 15, I heard about this thing called the California High School Proficiency Exam, which you can take, and if you pass it, you can go straight to college. It's $50, right? Where I come from, very humble origins, so we didn't have $50. So I just called the place, and I was like, hi, my name is John. I work for Mira Mesa High School, and I heard that there's this test, and I just want to verify that Jose Barrientos passed the test. And they're like, we don't do third-party verifications. So I was like, oh, okay, excellent. So I just went to their website, and I printed out the letter, printed out onto an envelope, and just made myself a you passed thing.
Okay.
And I turned it in to my counselor. And she's like, congratulations. This is great. Like, you're good. You're done. And I felt no guilt.
Right.
I was like, whatever. But then I saw my favorite teacher. And I was avoiding him on purpose. But he's like, I heard you took this test and passed. I've never been more proud of you in my entire life. Oh. And he hugs me. And he says, and you know, I know you like shortcuts. But you did the smart thing. You thought long term. And that... I'm telling you right now, I'm as proud as if you were my son.
Oh no!
But I was like, thank you so much. So I didn't say anything, and then my counselor was like, great job. You know, I've never had one of my students do this. Can you, when the diploma comes in, can you bring it in and show other students so that they know about alternative methods of graduation? So I was like, yeah, is it like fancy? What does it look like? And she's like, I don't know, I've never seen it. And I was like, oh, okay, of course I will. So right. I went to Kinko's and I get the nice stock paper, run it through the printer a few times so that the toner stacks up.
Sure. Right.
I took a Mexican chocolate coin because I'm Mexican and I just glued it on there. I signed it and I brought it in and so did someone else. Their real one.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and so I tore mine up as a political statement. I was like, the most important thing in education is what's in here, not this piece of, it's just a piece of paper, and to prove it, and I like shredded mine as fast as I could.
As much as you could.
And they were like, okay, a little dramatic, but good job. And I was like, I'm out of here. And then I tried to join the army. I didn't have a diploma. So I made it again now that I knew what it looked like, and we got in. And my recruiter knew. He had to know because he looked at it and he went, I've seen worse. That's all he said.
Wow.
That's all but it was at the height of the Iraq war.
Sure.
I needed people. Sure. And no one ever found out. Now we're past the statute of limitations.
Sure.
Right. Talk about it. But I used to have nightmares that like police would come to my house and be like, you've got to go back to high school. I'd be like, no, I don't want to do this.
Billy Madison.
Yeah, exactly.
I just like there's a junior agent trying to piece your diploma together.
No. Yeah. It's a theme here. It's a theme. Shred everything.
It's a dick and a diploma.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you didn't graduate high school. You faked that.
Mm-hmm.
You faked, you were in the army and you weren't a citizen.
Wasn't a citizen,
dude,
yeah.
Dude, you are the king of shortcuts.
Yeah.
You are the king.
For real.
Well, that was why I didn't have a secret clearance. It wasn't even, because I got my citizenship in 2009.
Uh-huh.
So to get I wasn't going to say it, but I'll tell you. When I applied for my top secret, and I wasn't going to mention it, but I will. They do a background check.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I was like, they're going to know. Because when I enlisted, for me, it's not high school diploma, it's the other. But they're going to hunt down that organization
right.
who's never heard of me.
Right.
So I was like, and I'm going to be so screwed for fraudulent enlistment.
Right.
It didn't matter that I'd already deployed to Iraq once and that
sure.
you know I had awards or whatever and I was a good soldier. So I would consistently fuck up my paperwork. And they would get kicked back. And I'd be like, oh, it was my social wrong. I'm so stupid. And I would just do it wrong. And I did it wrong over and over and over until the S2, the head intel person, was like, I'm going to fill it out for you.
Right.
And then I was like, okay. And by then, I only had 3 months left. So I was like, you know what? Forget it. It's okay. I'm getting out anyway. And she was like, well, we didn't have any incidences. I guess it's okay. You handled classified data.
Oh, my God.
So
did you ever see My Cousin Vinny?
Oh, yeah.
Where they're trying the lawyer back home. Yeah. Oh, Gallo. Yeah. That's all I can think of.
Yeah. It was intense. But I got very lucky in that sense. And so, again, past the statute of limitations. So we're all right now.
Oh, my God. I feel like we got a Foster the Podcast exclusive here.
Yeah.
Espionage.
Yeah, I get paid. It's like Snowden, Chelsea Manning, Jose Barrientos. Yeah. I didn't leak anything. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
All our podcasts have been taken down.
Yeah, exactly.
Just replaced with pictures of dicks.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Ugh.
Oh, so you got anything coming up? What you got? You traveling or anything? You going back to any
tonight.
Stages in the round?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'm going to Akron tonight.
Are you really tonight after this?
No. Well, the show's tomorrow. I'm flying out tonight.
Okay.
Taking a red eye over, and not
nice.
The same school.
So. Okay. Yes.
I'm doing Akron University, which is awesome. I'm performing in a Starbucks. True story. So
stop.
I swear to God. So I'm excited about that.
You're performing in a Starbucks?
I swear to God, look.
Why?
I'll
Why?
Why
well,
would they do where, that?
I mean, I would do it. I would love that.
Where else?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
What are you talking about? Yeah, look at this. Go ahead and read that.
Don't forget to come see Toast is Funny at your Twitter this coming Wednesday at 9:09 p.m. in the SU Starbucks. 9:09?
And not a minute after.
Don't you try to show up at 9:10.
Holy shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We can't pay you, but we've got you these bags of coffee.
I'll take it at this point.
Oh, yeah. See, that's amazing. Dude, thank you so much for coming on today, man. This is amazing. This is probably one of my favorite episodes
ever. Oh, thanks, guys. I had a lot of fun.
And I knew it would be, too. That's why I've been trying to get you on for so long.
Thank you.
Holy shit, what a fascinating life.
Yeah. It's just a series of bad decisions.
but they've all panned out.
A great story.
So far, we'll see. We'll see after this. I've admitted more here than I ever have before.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Dude, well, thank you.
No, like, thank you
we do have that. We do get people to open up.
Yeah, lull people into a sense of security.
Exploit them. Man, so plug all your social media. How can people find you?
On Facebook, it's Jose is Funny, one word. On Twitter, it's Toast is Funny. And YouTube is also Jose Barrientos, or just, that's fine.
Yes, please find Jose. Very funny, very funny comedian. See him at a Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf and Starbucks near you.
All over.
Please follow Jose. All right, that's it for us, man. Thank you guys for listening. This is our show. To find us, please go to fossilthepodcast.com. Subscribe to Fossil the Podcast on iTunes. Please, if you could hack into iTunes and give us like a couple 100,000 more downloads, that would be awesome.
Done.
Sweet.
no more.
And then for all my social media, please follow me, Justin Comic. Please add me on Instagram, on Twitter, Justin Comic. Christy, how can people find you?
At Rowan Moon Reiki.
Ivan?
At Ivan Ishkov.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.